that every congregation across the country needs to hear. And this is an old sermon, women. I feel like the Lord has laid it on my heart to give it to you tonight. And I want to preach on Jochebed, Moses' mother. If one of you fellows will watch the time for me, and I'll get my mind on the message, and I don't know where I can keep my mind on that clock or not, but I'll cut it off any time that you say cut it off. And we're going to read from the book of Exodus chapter 2, and we'll read 10 verses. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife to the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his mother stood afar, or his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw that the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take the child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she borrowed him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Father, I pray for your help today. Only you know what kind of condition that we are in this day and age that we live. Only you know how much that motherhood has degenerated. Oh God, only you know what a godly mother can do, Lord, for her children, for her family. I pray you'd touch my lips of clay. I pray you'd make my heart warm. I pray you'd bring thoughts to me, dear Lord, and make me a blessing for a while in Jesus' name. Amen. There's 3 points that I'd like to develop if I have time. I want to talk to you about the burden that she carried. And then we want to talk to you about the book that she taught. And thirdly, we want to talk about the benefit that she reaped. The burden that she carried was because of the sentence of death. Now, when we read in the book of Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 16, we find these words. And she said, "When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Yeah. Verse number 22 said, "And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, Every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." The burden that she carried, number one, was because of the sentence of death. Yes. The sentence of death, yes, had touched her race. Yes. and was reaching out to her family, her own child. This ought to make any woman or any man, as far as that's concerned, have a burden on their heart because of the sentence of death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe with all of my heart that when we leave here in the rapture, that the Scripture said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, we'll be there at the great white throne of judgment to witness that awful scene and to see friends and loved ones and families cast into the lake of fire. Oh, how I would hate to stand around that great white throne and see a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter, a loved one of my family, sentenced to death to go to that awful abyss where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. It's things like that, my friend, that ought to drive us to the place of prayer where we pour our heart out to God. We ought to get our priorities right, my friend. And so Jochebed was a woman that had the deep realization in her heart. There is so much lightheartedness. There are so many people today that don't have their priorities right. They've got their priorities wrong, and temporal things seem to take first place in their life, and they don't seem to realize how precious and real those eternal things are. So, my friend, she carried a burden because of the sentence of death. Then, number two, she carried a burden because of the sinfulness of society. I'll tell you, any mother or any father, as far as that's concerned, ought to be able to look out on our society and see how far that it's degenerated. They ought to see, my friend, the grip that the world and the grip, my friend, that iniquity has got upon our young people, and the greater, my friend, the grip and the more people that it touch, the more peer pressure is put upon the good kids to go the way, my friend, that the bad kids go. And therefore, it ought to cause us to carry a heavy burden. Oh, there's so many young women today that has lost their virginity. There's so many young women and young men that's got hooked on drink and on dope, my friend, and they revel in sin. And my, the peer pressure that rests upon those young people today. I'm telling you that some of us that's got old now don't really know all the peer pressure that is there. Things has changed so much since we were young, and my friend, there's no comparison today as to what it used to be. She had a burden because of the sinfulness of society. Down in Egypt, they were every kind of false religion. They worshipped the Nile River because it overflowed its banks and they could have two crops a year in that fertile soil. Therefore, they worshipped the Nile River. They worship the bull god. They worship the sun god. And I'm telling you, it's as black as 1,000 midnights out yonder. And there's so many people, my friend, that are being brainwashed by false religion. You remember what God said to Jonah? I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach to them. He said, there are people that don't know their left hand from their right. Now you know what he's talking about. He's talking about their spiritual condition. They were a very warring country, and they had a lot of power, and they wasn't behind on their architect, And so he has to be talking about one thing when he talks about they don't know their left hand from their right. They didn't know nothing about Jehovah God. They were in darkness, my friend. And I want to say to you that in this land that we're now living in, the home of the free and the home of the brave, my friend, it used to be that the old-fashioned Methodists loved God. It used to be that all the denominations just about it loved God and hewed to the line. But today there's more false God and more apostasy in the land. And it's dark, my friend, out there. It is so dark in the society that we live in. And America has come to the place to where they don't know their left hand from their right. There's a young fellow that rents a house from my brother. And he is talking to my brother, and my brother said to him that God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and he became a living soul. He said, "Man, where in the world did you read such a thing as that?" He said, "It's in the Bible, young fella." And he's fooling around with the Church of Christ, and he said, "I'm going to ask them about that." I'm trying to tell you, it's dark out there. It's awful dark out there. I know of a couple that spent their lifetime in a Calvary Baptist church. And one of their sons wound up marrying a Seventh-day Adventist. Like to tore their heart out by the roots, my friend. This is some of the reasons why that we ought to carry a burden. This is another reason why that we need to go alone with God. I thank God for the privilege of biographies and autobiographies that I've had the privilege to read. And I think about I heard one time or read about Mrs. DeHaan, M.R. DeHaan's mother. He said, "I can see it now plainer than ever before that it's been my mother that's had more influence on me than all the preaching that I've ever heard in my life." He said, "I can remember when a little boy, I would go in the house from playing and I'd holler, 'Mama, Mama, Mama,' only to find Mama down by the side of the bed with her face pillowed in her hands and saying, 'God, save my boys. God, save my boy.'" I'm afraid we don't have any mothers that seem to know the load and the responsibility that they have. I was looking at a young lady in the church where I'm a member, where Brother Goosby's the pastor. She got a new baby. And her husband loves God. And as I had that little baby put in the front of him, she said, "I want you to see my little girl." And I had tears to come in my eyes. And I said, "Young lady, I don't guess that you really understand the responsibility that rests upon you." I said, "You've got a tremendous load of raising that child for the glory of God." Yeah. I'm telling you, the devil would like to take that child and rip everything away from her and leave her high and dry and, my friend, wretched and undone. The devil has no respect for anybody, and he wants your children as much as he wants anybody. The burden she carried was because of the sentence of death and because of the sinfulness of society. But we find that she had a book. She had a portion of the Word of God. Oh, somebody wrote a song one time and said, "I love the old Bible, the blessed old Bible, a light on my pathway to shine. It shows me the right way, God's wonderful book divine." Isn't it wonderful to have a copy of the Word of God?
Isn't it wonderful, my friend, that God has not left us in the dark? But God has given us the book of all books, my friend, and the blessed Holy Spirit of God to teach it to us, my friend. How wonderful it is to be a servant of God, a child of God, and to serve the Lord in the Spirit and in the truth. Listen. I don't have much time, so I'm just going to kind of relate the story. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, we find that God said you're to teach it to them when you sit down and when you rise up. He said you can put the scriptures on the doorpost. Hey, keep the book before them. There's not many people today that has a family altar. I can remember when the girls were little bitty tykes, and I'd get them down at night and read the Word of God to them and have prayer with them. Now, you don't find many people that do that today. They don't realize, my friend, how important it is to instill the Word of God in their heart. And I'm going to tell you right now that God can leave an indelible mark on them if we'll all be in dead earnest, my friend, and faithful to give them the Word of God. Now, when we look at that portion there in the book of Deuteronomy, we find it was commanded of the parents. And when we come to the New Testament, we find that it is the teaching of the New Testament. The Bible said about Timothy, he said, "When I think about the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was in thy mother and which was in thy grandmother, and I'm persuaded that it is in thee also." Hey, God has made a promise to us that we'll reap in due season if we faint not. If we faint not. I tell you, some people will faint in a week when they go forward in a revival to rededicate their life. They will faint in a week. But I'm telling you, sometimes it takes months and sometimes it takes years and years and years and years, my friend, of faithfulness, my friend, of setting an example before them and standing for the truth, and it's going to leave a mark on them by and by. I don't know where I said this last year or not. I had a grandson that preached here last August and sing for you. God's got his hand on Shane. I can't think of that grandson, but what it don't tear me up. I'm telling you, when it got sky high here this morning, I thought, I'd love to have old Shane here. I'm telling you, I love that boy. I love that boy, and I thank God for the stand that he's taking and how the anointing of God is upon him. A year ago, last February, his brother lives right next door to me. I was eating my dinner, or was fixing to eat my dinner. He'd sat down to the table to eat his dinner. And he got to crying. And his wife said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm a lost church member." And he came to the house, and I was glad to push the plate back. And he said, "Papa, I got to get saved." He said, "I've been knowing for 2 years that I wasn't right with God." And said, "Every time I got around you," he said, "I felt like you was looking down into the recesses of my heart." And he said, "I want you to show me how to get right with God." It's commanded of the Lord for us to teach them, to set the example before them. If we wobble on the axle, if we don't hold a clean roll and a straight furrow, we'll mar their life. We'll mar their life. I'm thinking about a preacher that bought his fertilizer from some people there on the mountain and never did pay the fertilizer bill. And the son said, my daddy dropped out of church. He used to go regular. He said he was a businessman. And he said he had so many people that were church members that wouldn't pay their bills until he just kind of gave up all hope and dropped out. That's sad, isn't it? That's awful sad. Well, when I think about the books that she taught, I think about that it was a book, my friend, of salvation. It's a book of salvation. There's a lot of religions that's got all kind of religious books. They've got the Koran, and they've got the Book of Mormons, and they've got the Book of Ellen G. White. But my friend, this is the only book, praise God, that is the book of salvation. Hallelujah, I'm telling you that this book right here will deliver your soul. It'll tell you about the Lamb of God that condescended to our lowest state and went to the old cross, praise God, and died and rose again that we might have hope. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God told Abraham, I'm going to deliver the people. They're going to be in bondage for 400 years. And after that, he said, I'm going to deliver them. Salvation is deliverance, praise God. We got a beautiful type in those people in the land of Egypt, my friend, which is a type of our deliverance from this world, praise God. And God has given us life eternal, my friend, and it's wrapped up in this book. It is a book of salvation, and it is a book of separation. Oh, we don't want to hear too much about that today, my friend. But the Bible said, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things has become new. I'm going to tell you, praise God, that God intends for us to be different from the run of the mill. So, my friend, the book that she taught was a book of salvation. It was a book, my friend, of separation. And it was a book of service. Now, I want to turn to the book of Isaiah, and I want to read chapter 49 and verse 2. And here the Bible said, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. I want to think that Jochebed was polishing the shaft, sharpening the arrow, balancing it with the feathers, my friend. She's doing a work for God. A lot of career women might have come by and looked at her, and they might have said, Jochebed, you got so many things to do. Why in the world are you wasting your time sitting there rocking that little boy and talking to him about those things that you're talking? You won't never be nothing but a slave down here in the land of Egypt, my friend. But I don't think she got discouraged. I think she kept on polishing and balancing the life of that little fella. Praise God. She's pouring her life into it. She's doing a great job. And we'll come back to that a little bit later on. But I want to talk a little bit about the benefit that she reaped. There's nothing greater than being a housewife. There's nothing greater than being a godly mother. I wonder where our churches would be today if it wasn't for godly women. Many times the husband leaves all the responsibility of the spiritual part of life unto the woman. And many times the woman, my friend, don't get the recognition at this particular time. But here we find that she has two sons. She has two sons to delight her. Two sons to delight her. Listen, she's got a priest and a prophet. A priest and a prophet. Aaron is a priest. Aaron's the man that takes the people into God. Moses is a prophet. You say, how do you know he's a prophet? He said, the Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet likened unto me. That's enough right there for me to know that he was a prophet of God. Amen? Hey, now what does the prophet do? The prophet, he comes out from God to the people. The priest takes the people into God. The prophet, my friend, brings God out to the people. And we find in that Old Testament scripture that it would say sometimes, is there any word from the Lord? And if there was, he'd say, there he is. And the people would say, say on. Say on. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times today when a man of God gets up there and gets wound up and the anointing of God's on him and he begins to lay it on hot and heavy, they don't say, say on, brother. But she's got two sons to delight her. She's got two sons to delight her. And how wonderful it is to have these two sons. They delighted her. I tell you, I want to go back to that grandson that's preaching. Oh, there ain't no way in the world that I can tell you how it thrills me for God to use my grandson. I'm telling you, I get so thrilled in my heart to know that I've got a grandson to carry the news of the gospel. And to see the convictions that he's got, it makes me more and more thankful, praise God. I'm telling you, he's not a reed shaken by the wind. No, praise God. You know what the Lord said about old John? What went you out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Oh, no, praise God. He was steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. And that delights my soul to see somebody live for God and take their stand for the Lord. Well, she had two sons to delight her, and she had a Savior to deliver her. Now, I'm talking about this Savior in the person of Moses, her son. Now, he's not the Savior of the world, but I'm telling you right now, he was her Savior in the fact that he led them out of Egypt bondage. I could give you some scriptures on that, but I got to hurry. I'm going to tell you something. She's got a Savior. Now, Moses was 40 when he left the land of Egypt. He spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. That makes him 80 years old when God sends him back down into the land of Egypt to carry those people out. Now, I don't know how old his mother was when she birthed him. But she might have been 20, and she might have been older than that. But if she's 20, she's 100 years old. And I believe that the Bible makes it very plain, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that he was a proper child. And I believe that she seen that God was going to mightily use him. And I believe that when he left the land of Egypt, when he killed that fellow, and tried to do the delivering in his own power. I believe that they told her, hey, you'll never set eyes on that boy anymore. 40 long years and you still got hopes that he's going to come. Oh, but I'm telling you, praise God, that he's coming back. And I think she told him, hey, listen, that boy's coming back. I'm telling you that that boy is coming back, and I'm looking for him to come. I like to think that one day that she was out in the field working, had that great big old bonnet on her head, and I believe that there was a moving in her heart, and she lifted up her eyes at a distance, my friend, and she seen a figure coming, and somehow I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, moved upon that woman's heart and said, that's him, that's him, that's him, he's a-coming. And I think about old Reuben Fields, the colored fellow, you remember, that talked about how that his mother was picking cotton, and he'd got saved and wasn't going to tell his mother about it for a while, but he said that in the cotton field that she dropped her cotton sack and headed out to him, and they met each other in the middle of the cotton field. Yeah. Praise God, it become real, my friend. He's a-coming back. He's a-coming back. He's a-coming back. Now then, I wanna hurry and finish up right here. In the 127th Psalm, the Bible says in verse number 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now then, did it pay off for her to polish that shaft? Did it pay off for her to balance that young fella? I'm telling you, you don't hear her name mentioned but 2 times in the Word of God. The glory and the luster of her son overshadows her, and you don't see her. But of all that he did, one of these days, she's going to be rewarded for what she done. Oh, for godly women. Oh, for godly women that carries the load of their children on their heart, that backs their husband, that seems to put all they've got in it, my friend, and they're sold out lock, stock, and barrel for God. There'll be a payday someday for your service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, my brothers.